Today, for our Christmas sermon, I'm going to ask that the kids stay, and there's really only one. Yeah, you got to stay too, though, David. The sermon here, Miss Sally put this in, and we talked about it. She said, I don't know what you want to put in, and I said, well, just let that. I like that. Because we were talking, and she wrote in some of my comments that I had said about the sermon, because I said, you know, Christmas has come, and we have received the gift. What will you do with it? I said, that's kind of the way I'm going with my sermon. So she wrote that down and she kind of plugged it in there and said, you have to put your sermon title in. I said, no, I like that. Because my sermon title is, how many licks does it take? How many of you remember that commercial? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? Well, this ain't your average Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop. This is a jawbreaker on a stick. Everything's better on a stick. I went with Ruth Ann to see Brian, and I'm always looking for things for children's sermons. And I thought, this was a children's sermon. And then God showed me, no, this is the adult sermon. Brother Bob probably thought I was nuts when I brought these. How are you going to put something like that in your mouth, especially if you're a two-year-old? Okay? And we all remember the commercial because, you know, the little boy says he wonders how many licks it takes. So he goes to Mr. Turtle because he's old and he probably knows. And Mr. Turtle's there with his gums. He doesn't have teeth anymore. And he says, I don't know. I could never make it without biting. Go ask Mr. Owl. Mr. Owl says, let's find out. And he takes the lollipop from the kid, pulls the wrapper off, licks it once, licks it twice, licks it three times, crunch, hands it back and says, three. So what does that have to do with what will you do with the gift that we have received? Well, today, I want to challenge you with a Christian Christmas message. Because so many people in our world today are going to hear about the nativity and the birth of Christ and the love of God, and all of that is important, and you all know it. But there's also something that we need to remember. That happened how long ago? It still happens today for every new believer. That Advent comes at the time of their believing. And it's so important. But we have to look at, we've received the gift. Have we not received the gift? Then if we have received the gift, what are we going to do with it? So I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, as I open my sermon notes here, to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I pray that as we look at this gospel message, because this is the Lord Jesus Himself doing a teaching here, that we will gain an understanding of what we are to do with the gift and just what it's going to be like. And then we'll get back to the lollipop. In the 16th verse of the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, excuse me, 16th verse. I'm like, why am I starting in the middle there? 16th verse. It says, this is the story of the rich young ruler. It says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? Boy, there's a question. And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Blessed be the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this scripture, Jesus says some pretty tough things here, and one of the things that I love is when I hear pastors trying to explain the it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, because many of them, you know, they talk about the camel gate. You know, there's a sheep gate, or the eye of the needle. There's a sheep gate called the eye of the needle. That doesn't exist, okay? Because they talk about the camel, in order to go through this gate, he's got to get down on his haunches and crawl through it. That's not what Jesus was talking about. How many of you have sewing needles? Do you think you can shove a camel through there? That's what he was talking about. In other words, it is impossible for us to do the things of God, lest God does them for us and in us. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. Okay? He's not talking about some figurative thing where we have to humble ourselves. He's talking about a work that God has to do, because we can't do it. It's impossible for us to do it. But in Christ Jesus, all things are possible, because he gives us strength, he gives us wisdom, he gives us knowledge, and he gives us supernatural power to overcome this world. And when we start to realize that we are so materialistic that we have got to begin living in the Spirit, hence the tree that's behind us right now and everything that's on it, those chrismons are so beautiful. And the reality of what they mean is so important to us, because we are such a materialistic people. If we can't pick it up, touch it, feel it, buy it, sell it, it means nothing. You can't buy nor can you sell salvation. It's a free gift. But once it's received, and you've all heard me say this, and it's in the Word, once you have received that gift, it will cost you everything. It's the lollipop. It's the lollipop. This sucker's hard. Okay? It's called a jawbreaker for a reason. Because if you try to crunch on this thing, you're going to break your jaw quicker than you will this, right? How many of you out there had these? I had these when I was a kid, and they were always this same size or about that size. And we would suck on them for a little while, and then finally we'd get tired of it. You put it in a sock and smack it on the table, right? Or you take a hammer and just whack it, and then you would eat the pieces. Because that's what many of us do with the Scriptures. We can't handle it, so we take the Bible and we break it up. And we say, these things I'm going to do and these things I'm not going to do. But God does not want us to do that. And it's so amazing to me, because how many of you know what is inside of a jawbreaker? There are different circles of color, isn't it? The thing tastes the same the whole way through, but as you're going through, it goes from blue, it might turn white, and then it'll go yellow, and then orange, and then red, and then green, and then blue, and then yellow, and then orange, and then red, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you get down to the point where there's nothing left. How many have ever gotten there with one of these puppies? That's why you have cavities, yeah. I gave Russell one for Christmas. His is that big. It's the biggest jawbreaker I ever saw in my life. The thing's the size of a softball. It weighs 4.5 pounds. Not a joke. Bobby and Root were there when I bought it. I said, that's Russell's. Ain't no way he's getting that in his mouth. Okay? And he just loves it. He thinks it's so cool. He'll probably never eat it. It'll just sit on the shelf. And that's what happens to most of us with our faith. We take our faith, which is a hard thing in and of ourselves. We can't do it. So what do? Well, I have salvation, and we put it on a shelf. And every now and then we get it down and we look at it and we say, oh, wow, you know, I might take a lick off of that. But then I'd have to finish it. Because if you don't finish it, what happens? It gets dirty and fuzzy and all that stuff, right? So then we throw it away. No. You take it, run it under the sink. If you, like I was when I was a kid, you run it under the sink, get the fuzzies and stuff off of it, and go at it again. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us to do. One of the things I want us to understand, he's saying, this is going to be hard. But if you persevere to the end, you will receive the crown of life. That's the book of Revelation. If you persevere to the end, you will receive the crown of life. When we understand that the gift of Christmas came 2,000 years ago and now we must persist, perseverance, we must continue on, we must press on to win the goal to which we are called heavenward in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? Through the strength of God. Roots, one of your favorite verses, right? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And we need to remember, Jesus does not leave us nor forsake us. He is there for us every day. From the moment we receive that nativity into our lives, that little one. And I'm sitting up here this morning, and boy, I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching next Christmas. Swaddling clothes. I had the most wonderful revelation sitting here in front of all of you. Two words. Swaddling clothes. I want you to think about that for a year. Swaddling clothes. He who was and is not contained by anything was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What does that mean? Oh, dear God. Think on that for a year. That's next year's Christmas sermon. Write it down. Swaddling clothes. I'm telling you, when we think about how difficult things are for us, how difficult do you think it was for God to leave His abode in heaven, to leave the glory, to leave everything, and to come as a man with no power? Everybody says, oh, no, wait a minute, He was fully God, He had all His power. No, He didn't. He did not have His power until the Holy Spirit descended upon Him when He was baptized. He walked as a man, fully man. Yes, He was fully God, but He had left all His power behind. And it wasn't until He got right and God said, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit lit upon Him. He was the first to receive the Holy Spirit. He is the first in all things. And we need to follow His example. It's going to be tough. There are going to be times when you're going to chip a tooth on this puppy. And there are going to be times when you just want to put it away and forget it's there. But it's there. And you got to do something with it. You can't just let it sit. You know, if you're like me, once you start something, you just have to finish it, right? It may take years. Ask my wife. Okay? I still have trim laying in the house that needs painted and fastened back to the walls. But it'll get done. And it's the same way with our faith. We've got to work at it slowly, layer by layer by layer. And I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to get through it all in one sitting? No. Do you know how long it would take, especially today, for me to sit down and eat this thing? Oh my gracious. That's 3 years of lollipop there for Pastor. For some of you, 15 minutes, right, Charles? But the point I'm trying to get is this. It's going to be hard. Jesus tells us that right here. But the awesome thing is, if we're willing to sacrifice to get ourselves through this, if we're willing to persevere, and you know, hey, let's face it, if you're going to lop on this thing for a while, you're going to miss some TV programs, right? You're going to miss some things because you got a lot of work to do. And that's where he's talking about giving up lands and family and what have you. Because I'm going to tell you, being a Christian is not a popular thing in our world. It's getting less and less popular. But we are living in what I believe is the Great Awakening. And I honestly see, in fact, last night, I'm going to speak this to the entire congregation. Last night, I had a word spoken to me by someone who was visiting here. And that word just blessed my heart. Because I told you all in January of 2016, and if you go back and watch the videos, you'll see it. I told you all in January of 2016 that this was going to be a horrible year. This has been the hardest year of my ministering life. This has been harder. This year has been harder than when we left Egypt and started. I want you to think about everything we've been through this year. How hard was it financially, Miss Virginia? The roughest year we've ever seen. And we can't take anymore. And then this young lady said to me, she came up and she said, the Lord has a word that I'm supposed to give to you. And I hate when people do that. It's like, dear Lord, if you're going to talk to me, talk to me. Don't talk to somebody else. You know, how many times have I told other people that if somebody says they have a word for you, please take it with a grain of salt. Because God talks to us, right? Well, she came to me and she said, I just have to say this. I'm not going to tell you everything she said. I'm just going to tell you the major point. She said, God said to me that he is going to roll back, or he is taking away the reproach. He's taking away the reproach. And I thought, what? Reproach, that's a bad word, isn't it, Marion? Reproach is a bad word. I'm like, he's taking, what did we do? What did I do? So last night, I went home. I spent 3 hours in the Word last night. And guess what I found? In the book of Joshua, in the 5th chapter, God speaks to Joshua and says, I am rolling back the reproach of Egypt from you. Israel couldn't enter the promised land because they had taken up all the things from Egypt with them. And when that generation was gone, when they had finally left the things of Egypt behind, then it was time to move in because the reproach of Egypt was still upon them. We left Egypt and we brought a lot of junk with us. And we've been maturing for 3 years. And it hasn't been easy. It's been hard. We have bitten each other. We have fought each other. We've been angry over positions and ministries. And we want it our way. And you know, we're not happy because, you know, it's not fun. And last night I heard the words, God is removing the reproach. You see, that's something only God can do. I can't do that. You can't do that. That's why life's hard, because we get stuck in sin. But only God can remove reproach. And then this wonderful young lady, she said to me, I just want you to know to be ready. Because when God removes the reproach, be ready. to receive the blessing. Read Joshua 5. Because in that year, the manna stopped and they ate from the land of Cana. And they ate the blessings of the Lord. Read Joshua 5. If this is what God is saying to our church, we've been chewing on this sucker for 3 years. And we're finally breaking through to another color. Does it mean we're done? No, we got a long way to go. But God's given us a breakthrough, people. And some of us had to go through some hurt to get here. Amen? But God says, don't give up. There's more to come. And His promises always come true. So today, for Christmas, I give you this. Keep licking. Don't stop. I don't know how many licks it takes, but it's going to take until we get to the end. Amen? So I am living to see what color that center really is. Because I'll guarantee you there ain't no Tootsie Pop in the center of this one. Hush up, Ruth. I pray that each of you will look at your Christian faith in a little bit different way. It's hard. It's going to be hard. Jesus tells us that it's going to be difficult. But then He also says to those who persevere to the end, He is going to give us a blessing. Where? We'll receive some of that blessing here. We'll receive some of that blessing now. But the majority of our blessing is on the other side. Remember, we are working here to bring souls into the kingdom. And it's once we reach the kingdom, that's when the Father says, now I'll give you everything that is yours. And how much of everything is He going to give us? Everything. Brothers and sisters, don't give up the work. It is tough. Don't crunch on it. You're going to break your teeth, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? Just keep licking at it, a little at a time, working your way through. With the help of God, we will persevere, and we will see the glories of God in this life and into the next. But we can't quit. We can't cheat. Don't get the hammer out. Don't smack it, all right? Remember, we have to take the full counsel of God, not bits and pieces. Besides, you got to watch the bits and pieces because they get sharp edges and you can cut your tongue. Okay? We want to remember the full Word of God brings salvation, not parts. Because parts of it will bring you condemnation and suffering. So let us take the whole thing in. Well, you folks are all going to look at lollipops different from now on, aren't you? And that's okay. Isn't it amazing how a pastor can do something so stupid as buy a lollipop? And God can turn it into something so amazing. Because He is. It's not about this old boy. It's about a God who is ever new, ever changing. No, ever new, never changing, getting us to change. Remember, we're the lollipop who's getting worked on. Changing from glory to ever-increasing glory. For the more we allow Him to work on us, the less of us there is and the more of Him there is. A lollipop. Children's sermon, right? You're always children. Merry Christmas to all of you. May you be blessed in the end of this year. And may we receive the blessing of God in what was spoken last night to us. And may the glory of God shine brightly in every one of you. Get your lollipop. Start licking. We've got a long way to go. But God will help us get there. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, for our Christmas prayer this day, I pray that each of us here, as we have utterance, that we would speak it, whether it be praise, whether it be a prayer request for someone that we love. But Lord, as I end, may others pick up and speak until we reach a time of lull, and then we'll enter into your Lord's Prayer, that we may enter into this Christmas in a way so real and true. The family of God, your children, receiving the gifts of your promises. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you for each and everyone who has been faithful to you. And may your love fill them to overflowing. And may we begin to receive the blessing of that reproach being rolled back. Lord, move in each life that's here, and for those who aren't here this day, we pray a special blessing that they would walk with you and in you in this day, in the fullness of your mercy and your grace, that we would truly be the heart of Christ Church, transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. Not just words, but that's who we become. That's who we are and who we will always be.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.